All right, guys, double action, single action. And this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart because I love double action, single action guns. I've pretty much always carried double action, single action guns. And I feel like the system has advantages that people often overlook. And especially in a world where, you know, Glock style striker fired guns are dominant. But I really think that the double action, single action system offers the best balance between shootability and safety with minimal compromise. And I want to make a case for double action, single action pistols with this video. And, you know, if you are not familiar with double action, single action pistols, maybe this will give you some good information, some good context to, you know, try one of these guns out, and I'll make some recommendations on double action, single action pistols that I think are excellent. One is the Beretta PX4 Compact, which I have here. I do have a review on it, so check it out. So that's my goal with this video. So first things first, what is double action, single action? And long story short, a double action, single action pistol is a pistol with two different trigger modes. You've got a long, heavy, safe trigger mode called double action, and that's because the trigger has to do two things. It has to draw back the hammer and release it. And then you've got a light, short, crisp, accurate shooting mode called single action. And it's called single action because it only has to do one thing, and that is just dropping the hammer. So it's super short, super crisp, and it allows you to shoot very accurately and very precisely. You carry the gun in the long, heavy, safe, double action mode. And then you draw it out, you take one shot in that long, heavy, safe trigger mode, and it automatically switches over into the short, crisp, accurate trigger mode, and it will stay in that short, crisp, accurate trigger mode as long as you keep shooting it. The logic of carrying the gun in the long, heavy, safe, double action trigger mode is that it's very insulated from unintentional manipulation of the trigger. You know, you can see it takes a very deliberate, intentional action to pull this trigger, so you really don't need a manual safety to carry the gun safely, and that's the whole point of it. If anything gets in that trigger guard, like a foreign object, like, you know, a piece of clothing, a belt, edge of a holster, something like that, it's very protected from, you know, not accidentally going off when you don't want it to. Or, you know, if you draw the gun under stress and you bobble the gun, you know, if you're drawing a gun, chances are, like, someone's going to be attacking you. And, you know, maybe you don't have the best grip on the gun. To use a gun like this, you know, it will always work in the short, crisp, accurate trigger mode until you put it in the long, heavy, safe trigger mode. So you'll never even see that long, heavy, safe trigger mode unless you use a mechanical button to get it into that mode. And that is called a decocker. So, you know, if I'm, you know, loading my gun to carry, I have my magazine, I put it in, I rack the slide, now there's a round in the chamber, and it starts off in that short, crisp, accurate trigger mode. And I can start shooting it right now, and it'll be in this short, crisp, accurate trigger mode, it'll stay that way. And again, I'll never even see the long, heavy trigger mode. But if I want to carry it, I can't carry it in this short, accurate trigger mode because the trigger is just too sensitive, and, you know, that is not safe to carry. So I need to, again, use that mechanical decocker button to get it into that safe mode, and then it's perfectly safe to carry. I put it in my holster, whip it out, first shot's in double action, and then it switches to single action, and then when I put it back in the holster, I have to use the button again, decock, back in the holster. A gun like this never goes in the holster unless you've decocked it. And if it wasn't clear or obvious, when you decock the gun, it does not set the gun off. There is a mechanical block to the hammer when it goes down, when you use the decocker, and that's really the point of it, that, you know, prevents it from ever touching the primer of the loaded round. You're probably reading between the lines at this point. The long, heavy trigger pull makes sense from a carry standpoint. It's very safe. It's very insulated. But it is more challenging to shoot than, obviously, the short, crisp, light trigger mode. That is the compromise you're making to get that seamlessly safe trigger pull that is very safe for carry and very easy to get into action. You don't have to mess with the manual safety. You're giving up a little bit of precision on that first shot. And to me, that is a compromise. And to me, it's a fair deal. It's worth giving up a little precision on that first shot for the advantages I've talked about. But then when it transitions you know, after only one shot to that short, crisp, accurate trigger mode, your ability to shoot precisely, quickly, and accurately goes way up. And as we'll get into, most people will shoot a gun like this in the short, crisp, accurate, single-action trigger mode more accurately than they'll shoot a gun with a Glock-style trigger. I hear people talking about, you know, like they're not shooting the double action as well as the single action, and like they expect the same result from the double action pull as they do the single action pull. And, you know, obviously you have to be able to shoot that first double action pull within a certain range of competency, but, you know, I don't expect the same result from the long, heavy trigger pull as I do the short, crisp, accurate trigger pull. And, you know, if the expectation was the same result for the two different trigger pulls, why have two trigger pulls? I mean, they put the, you know, single action mode on these guns because it's more accurate. It's more easy to shoot accurately. And it's not that you can't shoot the double action pull accurately. You certainly can, but it takes more skill to keep your sights aligned as you're drawing that long, heavy trigger back. So here's an example. On the left, that's 50 rounds at 10 yards, just shooting straight up in single action. On the right, you can see I was decocking between every shot to get the gun back into double action mode. And that's the kind of accuracy I was getting. It's not quite as good as what I was getting in, you know, shooting only in single action, but it's fine. I mean, that is all the accuracy you need. And that is the kind of accuracy I expect, you know, at 10 intermediate distances when shooting in double action. People tend to not recommend double action, single action guns to newer shooters because, you know, one, it's just more complex and you have to deal with two trigger modes. You have to understand the decocker and everything like that. And like, it's not, I mean, I just explained it in a few minutes. It's not that hard to explain. But also the fact that that double action trigger pull, that first double action trigger pull, is more challenging to shoot accurately. And that's true. But now we'll get into sort of the comparison to, you know, a Glock-style trigger system. My argument is that a Glock-style trigger isn't that much easier to shoot than the double-action pull on a gun like this. And, you know, a Glock-style trigger is designed to be in between the long, heavy trigger pull of a gun like this and the short, crisp trigger pull of a gun like this. So it's designed to be in the middle. There is an advantage in terms of just the inherent simplicity of the system. You only have to learn one trigger pull, and the guns are mechanically less complex, so they're less expensive. So there are definitely some advantages of the simplicity of a Glock style system, but to me, you're getting the best of no worlds. Really, the gun, the trigger is still too heavy and mushy to give you the precision of the single action pull in a gun like this, yet it's not heavy enough to offer you the very seamless safety that you get in a true double action system. So yes, you are giving up a bit on that first trigger pull, but you're giving up a lot in every trigger pull with a gun like a Glock. And for a newer shooter, I don't think they're going to see a whole lot of difference in terms of accuracy with a trigger like this versus the double action trigger in this. And then once it switches over to the short, crisp, accurate trigger mode, you know, the trigger pulls become excellent and far better than, you know, what you get in a gun like this. And of course, Glock style guns generally do not include a manual safety. So really the only thing protecting you from an unintentional manipulation of the trigger is, of course, your own gumption, which is important when you operate any handgun. But as far as the trigger itself, all you're getting is this kind of squishy, half-cocked trigger, which is, again, not nearly as heavy and safe as what you get in a true double action pull. You do have the little extra trigger safety in there, which is sometimes called a dingus, and that protects the gun from inertial trigger pulls. If you drop the gun, it prevents the trigger from pulling itself, essentially, and theoretically it does protect it from, you know, unintentional swipes from the side, which I'm sure it does to some degree. But at the end of the day, you are, you know, kind of left with a trigger that is far lighter and has far less of a travel than what you get with a gun like this, and no manual safety on top of that.
One thing I want to clarify is that striker-fired pistols have evolved beyond just Glock-style triggers, and there's a newer generation of striker-fired pistols which includes the Walther PDP, the HK VP9, and this Archon Type B, and they have really good triggers, and they shoot really good. The thing is, though, these guns are essentially single-action guns. They have single-action triggers, just like you'd find in the short, crisp, accurate single action mode on a double action single action gun, but like Glocks, they don't include manual safeties, usually. So, you know, I'll leave that up to you, but that's just one thing I'm not crazy about on the newer generation of striker fired guns, even though they shoot really, really well. And I guess I should touch on the other, like, major action type in handguns, and that is the old-school single-action-only guns like a 1911 or a Browning High Power. This is a 1911. And, you know, I say old-school, but there, in my opinion, there's not a thing wrong with carrying a gun in the single-action-only mode of action, and I have occasionally carried guns like that. It's certainly a legitimate way to carry. It's a safe way to carry as far as I'm concerned. I honestly prefer carrying a gun like this, a single action only gun, to a safety-less striker fired gun like a Glock. But I still, at the end of the day, prefer the double action single action system, but this style has merits too, and so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. With the single action only gun, as the name suggests, it only has one trigger mode, unlike the double action single action system, which has two trigger modes. It's just got the short, crisp, accurate trigger mode. That's the only way it works. And you'll see here when I lower the hammer and try to pull the trigger, it does nothing because it has no double action mode. So with a gun like this, you put your magazine in, you rack the slide, the chamber is loaded, and you're ready, the hammer's back, and you're ready to shoot. And that's how it works. And it, you know, as you keep shooting, it will continue to reset into the single action mode, you know, just like this gun would. But again, there's just no secondary double action mode. So what you do when you want to carry the gun in a ready to shoot condition, you put your magazine in, rack the slide back, and then you flick a safety on, and that protects the trigger. You can't pull the trigger at all. So you would carry the gun like this in what they call cocked and locked mode with the hammer back and safety on. You draw it out and you flick your safety off and then you shoot. And then you keep shooting. And then with a gun like this, it never goes back in the holster without the safety on. Especially with a 1911, it's pretty natural to swipe that safety off when you draw and then fire, but it's still one more thing you gotta do before you shoot. And that's, again, that's not a deal breaker, and it's a training thing. I just personally like the fact that, you know, you don't have to do anything when you draw a true double action gun. And in my opinion, the true double action pull is safer than what you get in the half-cocked, you know, half-bait trigger pull with a gun like a Glock. So, again, it's a matter of opinion. There are no, you know, right or wrong answers. You know, with the striker-fired system, you get supreme simplicity and ease of use, and there's something to be said for that, and I think a lot of people like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. With the single-action-only system, you always have a trigger that's just excellent, and 1911s especially, people have loved the 1911 trigger for over 100 years, and the 1911 trigger is great, and that's the only trigger you get, and a lot of people would say that's the only trigger you need, just give me a decent manual safety and we're good to go. And, you know, again, I see the double action single action system as kind of the best of all worlds. You still get that precision of a true single action pull, and you get the peace of mind and the simplicity and ease into action of that double action pull, and that's what I like, especially as we've seen the rise of appendix carrying, people carrying in front of their body, and that's how I carry. And if you were to have a discharge in that position, it could potentially be more catastrophic than when you're carrying behind the hip. So, you know, with a decocked gun like this, that is probably the safest way to carry in that position. And you see people who do carry appendix kind of gravitating to double action single action guns, because again, you're just super protected from an unintentional manipulation of the trigger. Reholstering, you know, holstering, handling, you know, whatever it is, all administrative handling, I think, for me, it just, I have greater peace of mind with everything, with a fully decocked gun like this. And I think most people who choose this style of gun and carry appendix would tell you that same thing.
Another kind of cool bonus feature of a DASA gun is that you can put your thumb over the hammer when you're holstering. So if, God forbid, something does snag the trigger, you can feel the hammer going back and you can stop.
There's a lot to talk about in this subject, and you know, there are books written on this kind of thing, but I just wanted to give an overview of the double action system and how it compares to other systems and why I like it and why I think, you know, regardless of where you are in your journey in terms of handguns and concealed carry, don't let someone dissuade you from trying a double action, single action gun if that's something you're interested in, because it's not that complex. Again, I explained it quickly, and I think if you have any sense and gumption, you can figure that out. As I've said, I think you will find really an optimal balance between shooting accuracy and safety. I think a double action, single action gun gives you all of that. And as far as recommendations for double action, single action guns, the Beretta PX4 Compact I think is phenomenal. I have a full review on it, and the title of the review is The Reality Check Pistol, because this gun shoots so well, it's like you have to do a reality check. And I think the PX4 is just, it shoots so well. It's not too expensive. It's a good size. It's a good all-around gun, and it's in production. It's rugged and reliable. It's everything you really need in a handgun. I think it's a great choice. It's a little thick, you know, but other than that, it's one of the best all-around handgun platforms, I think, that's available today, and I would recommend one to anyone. Another one is the CZ P01 and PCR guns. Those are about this, you know, in the same ballpark of size. They're really good, solid, reliable guns. They're NATO certified. They shoot really, really well. The ergonomics are phenomenal, and a lot of people really love the kind of compact mid-size CZ. So if you want to kind of a polymer-framed alternative to that within the CZ family, the P07, and now it's called the P09. Those are great guns, too. H&K makes really good double-action, single-action guns. The P2000 actually just went out of production. I have one of those, and it's again, in the same size ballpark. But the P30, they still offer the P30, and that's a great gun. Its grip is a little longer than some of these other guns in this size range, so that's one thing I don't love about the P30, though they do offer a subcompact in the P30, which is even a little smaller than this size range. So, you know, HK makes great guns. Sig Sauer, you know, they made their name on double action, single action pistols. And, you know, they've taken a lot of heat recently for the P320 fiasco, and rightly so. But the double action, single action guns that Sig still makes, the P229 and the P226, they're good to go. There's nothing wrong with those. They're good, solid, reliable guns. And I think you would be just fine with one of those. The Sigs tend to be a bit more expensive than some of their competitors, and dare I say a bit overpriced, but you know, if you can get into one for a good price, grab it. There's plenty of used SIGs on the market. I'm trying to think of some other ones that are worth mentioning. You know, those are the big ones that are really in production today. You could go old school and get one of the DASA Smith & Wessons, like the 5906 or the 6906 or something like that. Those are good guns, and I like those guns, and I have a few. And honestly, if you get one in good shape, there's nothing wrong with it. But they are out of production, so if you do need parts and you shoot it a ton and you break something, it might be a little more difficult. There's other ones out there too, obviously, but those are some of the big ones that come to mind and some I would recommend. So, again, thank you so much for watching. I'm Matt with Hipster Tactical, and I will catch you later.